1250 AM WRC.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Good morning from WRCO's Morning Show. It's a sure sign of spring when we start talking about the River Valley Area Community Gardens. And in the studio today with us, Rose Ellen Schneider, the president, Doug Rouse, the vice president, and Marlon Taft's director. They're here to talk about the upcoming season already. So happy spring, Rose Ellen. Good to have you.
Spring, Phil.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, good to have you. You were here a year ago talking about the season. Was it a good one in 24?
It was a good one, yes. We've had some issues with weather. It was kind of wet and then dry, but yeah, it was overall, it was a good season.
Wonderful.
So yeah.
And you had a lot of people take part a year ago?
We had, I think it was 46 adult gardeners that were gardening families, let's put it that way. And then there was 25 kids, and then we had 7 junior gardeners. So we had quite a range of people out there gardening and enjoying the nature and learning a lot. So yeah, it was a good season.
All of those age groups kind of fit the goal of River Valley Area Community Gardens, right?
Yes. Yeah. We want to make sure that people can get out and enjoy gardening. And of course, while you're enjoying gardening, you're growing healthy food. And that's more important than anything. We were just talking last night at our board meeting that there's plastics in this food now, little tiny microplastics that it's kind of hard to get them out of the food because you really can't see them. So who knows what's going on? So, we try to get it out and get people to not use chemicals and to do more of the sustainability and the organic type of farming and grow their healthy food.
And you show that it can be done with your garden too, don't you?
Yeah. Some people learn pretty fast that they need to put compost on and they need to mulch and augment their soil. And if you don't do that, then you don't have the produce yield that you would like to have. So, yeah, it's a learning experience for people.
Absolutely. And even guys that have been gardening for a long time, you learn something just about every day, don't you, Doug?
Every day, it seems like it, yes. Yes, it's in tremendous fun to be able to, you know, walk the garden and talk to other gardeners and see plots and think, wow, how did you get that broccoli to grow so well? Because mine doesn't look that good.
Isn't that the way it goes, though?
It is, you know? Yeah, for sure. And so I think we all learn from each other. And we do emphasize, education. Of course, the Busy Bees program for the kids is clearly an educational program specifically for them. And then the junior gardeners all have the opportunity to have mentors to help them with any learning or questions they have. But then we also do some other educational activities for just the gardeners or more largely the community if they want to attend. So I think this year we've got, a couple of possibilities lined up for looking at, disease and pest problems. We always do a little introduction at the beginning of the season where for any new gardeners or old gardeners that want to review practices. So, are there some nice ways to plant carrots without having to thin them so much? How much should you hill your potatoes and that kind of thing? Just general questions and different techniques. And that's always a lot of fun. It's a great program to be able to share with each other the way we do things.
Do you have problems like I do in Sextonville with little rodents and insects and then wild animals?
We do. We do. In fact, one of our biggest problems right now are the ground squirrels.
Oh.
They've really come in and especially things like carrots. They'll burrow and chew on the carrots under the ground. And so sometimes that can be a real problem because you don't see them at first and then you dig some carrots and find out they've been chewed on.
Already have eaten.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So we're constantly looking at how to deal with them. But, we have, of course, the standard problems in potatoes. We have Colorado potato beetles. There is an organically approved spray we can use to control them. And we have lots of other pests. I'd say my other number one insect pest is the squash vine borers, because you don't see those, and they burrow into the base of the stem of squash plants, even zucchinis, but summer squash and other things. And then the plant starts to wilt, and you think, well, why is my plant wilting? And unless you know to go back and look, you don't realize that there's actually a grub or a larva at the base of the stem that's been chewing the inside of the stem out, so the plant can't get any water. So that's my one of the nemesis, is I guess I'd say.
Uh-huh. And sometimes it's timing, right? When you plant, I know it really was last year, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Of course, with our wet weather early, we definitely had some problems with root rotting issues. And then, of course, it got dry. And so then you have problems with things like powdery mildew. That increases the challenge a little bit, for sure. In recent years, I've seen a bit more root rot early. I think our gardeners are very ambitious, so we get some gardeners who want to plant really early.
Uh-huh.
And for some crops, I think of green beans, which I really like. If you plant them early, they really don't like cool weather as much. But on top of that, if it's then wet, they're very susceptible to root rot. And so that can be a problem. And I've actually had that problem myself. So, yeah. So.
Well, let's bring Marlon into the conversation. They introduced you as kind of the jack of all trades with community gardens.
So to speak. But Doug and I were just out the other day looking at the gardens for this year and kind of planning how we're going to utilize space. We've always got new gardeners coming in, but if we don't, we convert those to use for the community food pantry plots. Along with that, we allocate vegetables and produce to the memory care facility in Spring Green, as well as the food pantry. So our biggest thing we try to do is make sure there isn't any waste. So people that don't want to maybe consume or have too much overproduction in their own plots, we've got a free kiosk as well, too, that we can supply food for, as well as, again, like I said, the food pantry and the memory care facility. So that's one of our biggest goals, is to make sure that food isn't wasted and there's an opportunity to put it somewhere that where people can utilize it.
Yeah, on the ground there in Spring Green, I would think that maybe it's a little sandy. It's kind of like Sextonville as well. What are some steps that you do to make sure that everything grows well?
Well, like I said, we use mulching techniques, some organic matter, be it manure of some kind. This year we're looking at getting a supply of alpaca manure as a source.
Really? So,
yes.
What's the difference there?
I'll have to let Doug answer that. Maybe, as far as,
he's the alpaca manure expert, is he?
Well, we'll just say general manure.
Wow.
Another title for you.
Yes. I'll wear that as a badge of honor. And I can't say that I expect there's much difference between alpaca manure and horse manure. I'm counting on it being fairly similar. But it's well-aged manure and so essentially well-composted. And, of course, when you add that, you're adding nutrients to the soil, some nitrogen and then phosphorus and potassium as well. And then the other thing is that it really helps the organic matter content of soil. And again, being sandy soils, the organic matter content naturally tends to be a little on the low side. And as you use more compost and then mulch and that gets worked into the soil, you increase that organic matter, and that helps hold the nutrients in the soil, and it also helps hold the moisture, as well as making the soil more pliable so that it's easier to work and plant into and so forth. So, yeah, we're big believers in adding organic matter, and again, the aged manure or composted manure is a great way to do that.
Plenty of water capabilities there too, right?
Right. We do have a water supply there that's supplied from the village that we're able to tap into at a cost, of course, but it's pretty minimal how we distribute it amongst all the gardeners and sharing the cost. So it's nice having that water there, especially in the sandy soil where it can take a lot of water as well, too, if we need it. Especially last year where we had some pretty dry conditions, and it really helped sustain everything a lot better.
Yep.
I drove by there one night in the summer, and it was just a hubbub of activity. So, I mean, that's kind of your whole goal, isn't it?
It really is. People have different schedules and different times. So, you know, those of us that are retired can spend different times of the day during there, but maybe some people in the evenings. Families might come out on the weekends as well, too, and make it kind of a family affair where you get the kids and the parents out there and attendance. So you're right. The schedule there, you can find everybody there from early morning to when the sun comes down as well.
Yeah. Indeed. Did you want to add something?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, our irrigation system, I think, is one of the things that I would feature for people that wanted to garden with us, because we do have good water supply. Essentially, every plot has its own own separate access to a spigot, and we supply hoses so that if a gardener comes, they're ready to go in terms of watering. And it's true that on sandy soils, you need to water sometimes, especially vegetables that take a lot of water, and especially when it gets dry like it did late summer. You know, the plants are large at that time of year, which means they're using a lot of water, and that was the wrong time to have drought conditions. But it didn't really affect us very much because gardeners were watering. And it's also interesting to watch out in the garden. You know, kids really like to water.
Yeah. Water themselves, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And everything.
Everything else, right.
But Doug is a big proponent of drip irrigation, so he's really teaching us and the rest of the gardeners, you know, how to ration that water and make sure it's not being wasted. So we've learned a lot of good techniques from Doug, how to conserve water better as well in the gardens as well, too. So it's a little bit of a process, but once you get it in place, it works very well.
Rosella, maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, who's eligible and the, kind of the time frame when we can start planting and everything.
Well, anybody that's in the River Valley area or River Valley area schools is eligible to get a plot at the gardens. We have been known to let other people come in. So if you're dealing with food scarcity and you want a plot, and we have plots available, we usually let people go ahead and garden. So registration's open right now. So if anybody wants to get a plot, I think Kelly told us last night we had 3 new gardeners in the last 3 days. So people are starting to think about gardening. So get your registration in. We have an info box, a red info box, right on Westmore Street, and that has printed forms in it already. So all you have to do is grab a form and fill it out and then mail it in, and so we can get you registered pretty quickly. So we have 10 by 10 plots, we have 10 by 20 plots, and we have 20 by 20 plots. So whatever you're interested in doing, a lot of the newer gardeners go with the 10 by 10s because they don't know what they're doing. They don't want to bite off too much, you know, work. So what we like to see is then gardeners go from the 10 by 10s to a 10 by 20 within the next 2-3 years, because then that's producing more food for them. So, registration's open, and we'll get you a plot assigned. So, yep. So registration will stay open until either all the plots are gone or the middle of June, because the middle of June is about when you don't want to plant anymore. Although we did have a couple gardeners come in July last year, and they planted tomatoes, and they had a pretty good crop. So, yeah, so a lot of people can garden year-round if they wanted to. But
yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
And you've been able to do some upgrades at the facility, too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. We've got a brand-new shed.
Right.
The new equipment shed. We worked 3 years raising money for that shed, and we got it up last year, and we're pretty proud of it. And we want to thank all of you folks out there that stopped at our brat fries or at Prem's or just donated or stopped at the caramel apple sale at the school fair. We couldn't have built that without the little $5 and $10 buying of the brats. So, yeah, it was wonderful. And we ended up getting several grants to help us along. Compeer was one that gave us a grant for, I think it was $2,500, and that finished off our fundraising. So we were just really blessed. The Lions Club did a spaghetti dinner for us back in 2022, I think. So that was the kickoff, and we got $6,000 from them that year. So, yeah, it's been a community project. So we're celebrating our 10th year this year.
Wow.
So at our site. So one of the things that we decided last night was we're going to have an open house in August. And people are going to be invited to come and potluck with us if they want a potluck, or just tour the gardens and come see the new shed.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it'll be a fun time to celebrate our 10th anniversary.
You're going to whip up some sort of vegetable dish or something, are you, to celebrate? Or?
We could.
You'll have all the vegetables, maybe a ground squirrel or something, yeah. Ground squirrel stew.
Add a little meat.
Well, meat in there, too.
We could throw them on the grill, right?
Yeah. We'll be back with more in a moment as we talk about River Valley Area Community Gardens on The Morning Show. We're talking about the River Valley Area Community Gardens today. Rosellen Schneider, Doug Rouse, and Marlon Tafts in the studio with us. Their 10th season. That's pretty amazing stuff. Let's talk a little bit about what gardeners you're looking for. You're looking for all ages, right? Even some younger gardens, Rosellen?
Correct, yes. We've got a program called the Busy Bees Garden Club, and that is for kids ages 3 to grade 4. And they meet in the summer on Tuesdays for about an hour, and we have a curriculum, and they get to plant their own 2x4 raised bed, and so they can put whatever they want in there. We provide the plants for them, so a lot of them are planting tomatoes and zucchini and cucumbers and onions, and we encourage them to plant flowers also, because that's for the pollinators, and we talk that's included in the curriculum where we talk about pollinators. So we look at we teach them about soil, and we teach them about parts of a plant, and we teach them about flowers, and we teach them obviously how to plant. So, yeah, they get a wide range. So, registration for that will be starting to be out towards the end of March. So, if anybody is interested in getting your young ones involved in that in our Busy Bees program, you can look for that. So, we'll be advertising that, and then we've got a junior gardeners program, which is for grades 5 through 12, and those kids get a 10x10 plot free to plant whatever they want to plant in, and we provide mentors if we need if their parents aren't gardeners. So last year we were really lucky. The last 2 years, I guess, the parents were gardeners, so we didn't have to do the mentoring. But, yeah, it's really neat. We actually had this past year two students enter things into the River Valley School Fair from the gardens, so that was pretty exciting. I've been pushing that for quite a while, and finally we had two that went ahead and did that. So, so that's really neat. If you don't start them young,
right,
you know, you lose some time there and some space, and so a lot of it is getting them started young so they understand what gardening and producing their own food is like. And they get pretty excited when they pull out, they get to dig potatoes, and last year somebody pulled out a radish that must have had about a foot long root on it, and they're holding it up, you know, so proud of that radish, you know. So they're pretty excited. It's really neat to see those young ones get excited about gardening. And we have a lot of people that return. So, yeah, our goal is to move them from the Busy Bees into the Junior Gardener Program, and then eventually, hopefully, into the regular adult gardening program. So.
When someone signs up, they get a lot. I mean, you guys offer them a lot of stuff in return, don't you?
Yeah, I think our garden does a really good job of providing for our gardeners. So we mentioned the irrigation previously. So water is abundant, no problem with water, and including the hoses and so forth that are needed, as well as some education about alternative methods for using the water, that is the drip irrigation system, for example. But then in addition, we provide fertilizer, so organically approved fertilizers, and we provide the composted manure, which is a fertilizer source as well as being a source of organic matter. We also have tools at hand, so hand tools, hose and rakes and so forth. And then we have a rototiller that is free to use as part of the garden. And then we also provide straw mulch. And again, we encourage especially the use of both the compost and the mulch. And so really it's a pretty complete package. Well, in fact, then I should mention, we also typically provide some seeds. Dory Hardware in Spring Green has provided seeds that were left over from the year before. At the end of the season, they donate those to us, and then those are available to gardeners for free. So seeds, and I'll mention that quite often our gardeners will start plants indoors ahead of time for transplanting. And you know, if you started a bunch of tomatoes, it might turn out that when you planted, you had a couple of transplants left over. So you can typically put those out and another gardener can get some free transplants. So that's the community aspect of that sharing. So it's a really, I think, nice system that provides really everything that a gardener needs to garden successfully.
You really can get a lot, even in a 10 by 10 plot. I'm guessing if you space it right, you can get quite a bit of food in there.
Yeah, yep, you can. Actually, I'd say it's fairly impressive. Now, there are some things, you know, we don't recommend planting sweet corn in a 10 by 10 plot because it takes up a lot of space and would shade everything else out. But you can get a number of tomato plants in, and certainly the smaller vegetables, you know, your onions or your lettuce, you know, spinach and so forth, you know, you can produce a lot.
Now, I used to hear that Good Friday was when you're supposed to plant your potatoes. That might be about right this year.
Yeah, this year it could be just about right. In fact, it came up last night in our board meeting that I'd like to plant potatoes. Typically, the commercial production here, they'll push into the first part of April if the weather's right for potatoes. And so this year I'm thinking the weekend of the 12th of April might be a very good start. So we'll see how the weather goes, but you can put potatoes in the ground as long as you can work the soil.
Hmm. You don't have to worry about ground temperature then so much?
No, not so much, just so that the ground is, you know, not frozen anymore and is dried out enough you can work it, of course. But that's true for a number of crops. So, for example, you can plant carrots as soon as you can work the soil. And there are other crops like that. What else comes to mind? Parsnips would be an example. I grew parsnips 1 year. Successfully.
Not a fan, huh?
Well, it's a very long season crop. I planted early and I didn't harvest until November.
Oh, okay. So,
it just seemed like, my gosh. It was back in April when I did this.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time to have in the ground. But, there are other crops that you can put in early as well. Your spinach, for example, some of your greens. And your sugar snap peas or peas more generally, they can go in April. So we get gardeners that are pushing it early. And for those crops, you can do okay. On the other hand, you don't want to plant tomatoes so early. And especially from my perspective, peppers like the roots like a warm soil. So I always say, you're okay into June to put your pepper transplants in, but we have gardeners that put them in earlier. We, of course, have to worry about a late frost, and we've had late frosts the last few years that have nipped some of these crops that are susceptible, so like tomatoes and peppers especially. So I've learned to not be in as much of a hurry as I used to be.
It's nice to get excited, though, and yes, look forward to the season, that's for sure.
One of the questions that people might have is, what do we charge for the plots? Doug just listed everything that we provide. So for a 20 by 20 plot, the seasonal fee is $60. So you can plant whatever in that 20 by 20 and you just pay us $60 and you've got that plot for the season. A 10 by 20 is $40 and a 10 by 10 is $20. So we feel like we're pretty reasonable, and that money then goes to provide the fertilizer and pay for the water and pay for the straw and all of that stuff. So, it's when you start looking at other community gardens for what we provide, it's pretty reasonable fees.
Yeah, and if you went out and bought the straw yourself and, the tools and all that stuff, you'd be spending a little bit more money than that.
Yes. Yep.
You couldn't do it without the community, Marlon. You get a lot of support, don't you?
Well, we do, and one aspect of the community gardens is, along with maintaining their own plots, is we encourage people to volunteer for different tasks we have, especially in the community food pantry plots. So if it's maybe 2 hours a month, if they could spare to help with some of the planting and harvesting, weeding in particular, is one of the biggest things there, but collection of that there. So we've got just a lot of different things that need to be helped upon that we ask people to contribute a little bit of time during the month if they can. And sometimes they get their kids involved in it as well, too. But it's especially fun on harvesting for the pantry day because we've got a lot of people there to help gather up the produce and deliver to the food pantry. So
do you have specific plots for the food pantry, or is it just the excess that people don't use?
Well, we do have some specific plots, but then some that people don't use. Doug, I don't know for how many years it's been, has a hoop house for tomatoes. And I can't remember, Doug, how long or how big that is, but we get an incredible amount of tomatoes out of that thing. I think last year it was over 850 pounds of tomatoes that we took out of the hoop house.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just what we might call a high tunnel. It's something we put up each spring and then take down. So just a plastic hoop house. And we put about 45 tomato plants in there. And we can give them a little bit of an earlier start because they're undercover. And we go a little later in the fall as well, if we're lucky. So that's worked out quite well. And then we have actually, it approaches over a quarter, maybe almost a third of an acre of plots that are dedicated to the food pantry. And then it depends a bit on whether there are empty plots that we didn't rent as well. But it's a fair amount of space, actually. And, we produce quite a few potatoes. I was very excited last year. I think I've mentioned on the show over the years that there are some crops I really think I do very well at growing, like onions. I'm very proud of my onions. And then there are crops that have just been a struggle, like carrots. I don't know why I have such a problem growing carrots. But last summer, we grew carrots for the food pantry that were really pretty darn good, if I do say so myself. So I was very happy with that. And of course, carrots are a really nice produce to take to the food pantry. Everybody, I think, you know, likes to have carrots for stews and soups, if nothing else.
Thanks to River Valley Area Community Gardens members Rose Ellen, Doug, and Marlon. And this part of the morning show, they're celebrating their 10th season in Spring Green.
Right Cattle are waiting for you at RedFest. Online at RedFestSale.com. Get ready to upgrade your herd on the 23rd. See you at RedFest.
Dairyland Transport has a lot of experience in transporting temperature-controlled cargo. When you choose Dairyland, you can be confident in knowing your freight is properly monitored and transported at the right temperature and with the latest equipment available. Dairyland Transportation is looking for drivers, offering local, regional, and long-haul drivers. Whether you're transporting refrigerated goods or shipping dry goods and materials, Dairyland is committed to providing the highest level of expertise and reliable performance on every single move. Call 649-3044.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time at 6:30 is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, the friendly feed store. It'll be a mostly sunny, pleasant day today and a high of 60, a low down to 31 tonight, 66 on Thursday before 73 Friday, and some rain chances. We're at our overnight low, the current mark. It's 24 degrees.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at news. Dane County Judge Susan Crawford and Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel meet for the first and only time tonight. Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin said the debate is an important moment, both for familiarity but also for the candidates to express their positions. On WISN's Upfront, Franklin noted the candidates face constraints. There are limits on what judicial candidates can talk about and not appear to be prejudged. Judging cases in the future, and yet still give voters an understanding of who they are and what they're for. Despite saturation and advertising coverage, fewer than 40% of respondents to the latest Marquette poll say they've heard or read a lot about the Supreme Court race. WISN-TV is hosting the debate at Marquette Law School. A bill requiring Wisconsin sheriffs to seek proof of citizenship from persons in custody on felony arrests clears a state assembly committee. If a sheriff does not comply, the local government will lose 15% of its revenue from the state in the following year. On Tuesday, the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety voted 8-4 along party lines to recommend passage of the bill. It will need to pass both the Assembly and Senate in order to arrive at the desk of Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who's already indicated he'll veto any such measure. The Federal Trade Commission reports that just over $106 million came from more than 30,000 fraud reports last year, with the average loss being $357. Imposter scams were the most reported category of fraud, followed by identity theft, credit bureaus and information furnishers, along with online shopping and negative reviews and banks and lenders. Nationally, consumers reported losing more than $12.5 billion to fraud in 2024, a 25% increase from $10 billion in 2023. Rebecca Cook has announced another bid for a third congressional district.
Cook is a waitress, small business owner, and nonprofit leader from Eau Claire. She will again challenge incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden, who she narrowly lost to in the 2024 November general election. The third district expects to be one of the most competitive congressional seats in the country and has already drawn outside interest from Democratic political action committees like House Majority. Cook says she's running again because Wisconsin families deserve a fair shot and a seat at the table. The 3rd Congressional District covers a large portion of western Wisconsin and also includes parts of Portage, Wood, and Adams counties. Shel Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The fire danger around the WRCO listening area remains high. As a reminder, it is important to check the DNR Burn website to check fire regulations daily. Conditions remain dry and fires can quickly get out of hand. Case in point, the Iowa County Communications Center received 3 fire calls in under an hour Monday afternoon. A report of a cornfield fire near the intersection of Brecken Road and State Road 23 in the township of Mineral Point. That fire was extinguished on Friday afternoon. At approximately 4 o'clock, the Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a barn fire near Ferndale Road and 9th Street in the township of Mineral Point. The Mineral Point Fire Department, Mineral Point EMS, Hollandale Fire Department, Darlington Fire Department, Belmont Fire Department, and Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene. The fire was extinguished and all units returned to quarters. The third call came in around 4:45. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a field fire near Hayward Crossing Road and Demby Road in the township of Arena. The Arena Fire Department, Arena EMS, and Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene. The fire was extinguished and all units returned to quarters. There were no injuries reported in each incident. This Saturday, there will be a sale to provide area farmers with low-cost, high-quality seeds. Project Seed will be at St. Mary Church parking lot in Richland Center from 10 until 2. Dick Hauser has been involved with Project Seed for many years.
It's been well over 20 years. I can't tell you for sure, but I remember when it first started. It was back in the 80s when we had a problem when the milk price was really deflated. And the first couple of years, you had to bring a milk check along to show that you were having problem getting the right kind of money for your milk. And then I think I came along and said, now, wait a minute. People that are in the beef industry have just as much problem as the milk industry. And so that's kind of where I opened my mouth and got involved.
Steve Moore has been involved with Project Seed for at least 15 years, helping to provide the seeds.
We first just started supplying the seed corn because they wanted just conventional corn and not Roundup Ready GMO. And so our company, our parent company, so to speak, my company, just was doing a lot of organic, which is conventional seed, and we do the conventional treated as well. So kind of a natural fit, and we're growing our own seed. I've got growers all over, so we can grow what we need. And some of the hybrids for Project Seed are specific to Project Seeds. You know, some of the areas that we sell in there, farmers use. Some of the hybrids and Project Seeds are not in our Foundation Direct seed lineup or Foundation Organic, and vice versa. There's some things there that Project Seeds doesn't get.
There will be various types of seeds on hand, but you can order it in advance to make sure you are able to get the type of seeds you want. If you would like to pre-order or have questions, you can contact Steve Moore at 608-780-5460 or Dick Hauser at 608-585-4808. Project Seed this Saturday from 10 until 2 at St. Mary's Church parking lot here in Richland Center.
Well, it's about time. Time for a blind date. That's right, a blind date with Steve, Bailey Payne Decorating's blind man. Steve takes the stress out of fitting new window treatments by handling all the measuring and installation. Whether it's cellular, pleated, roller, or solar blinds, new window treatments will give your home a fresh look. And for a limited time, receive a free cordless lift upgrade on select Graber shades. Make a blind date today. Visit Bailey Payne Decorating on Court Street, downtown Richland Center.
Today's forecast calls for temperatures to remain around 60 degrees through the day, mostly clear tonight, a low of 31, and 66 Thursday with warmer conditions. Thursday night, a low of 44. Friday, 73 with a slight chance of rain during the day and maybe a half inch of rain on Friday night. Saturday, 54 with occasional light rain showers at night, which could transition from light rain to light snow. In Richland Center, we've been as warm as 34 this morning, and we're down to our current mark. The reading is the overnight low, a 24-degree reading.
Hello, friends. It's Ellie here from Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such. Stay cozy with Chet's Apparel. We have sweatshirts, crewnecks, and a variety of hats as well. Our merch isn't the only thing to fall for at Chet's. We have premium bird seed and a huge new selection of bird feeders to keep your feathered friends happy. Come explore our large lineup of cat and dog toys, as well as treats. As the wind starts whipping, you can be sure that we have your back with our Henry County wood pellets to keep your home warm. Sold by the bag or even by the pallet. We appreciate our friends down here at Chet's, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop by 880 North Orange Street, Richland Center, or give us a call at 647-8833.
Big changes are coming. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet is moving to Main Street, and that means big savings for you. March 10th through 15th, take 10% off everything in our Church Street location. Sofas, recliners, dining sets, mattresses, everything must go before we move. Don't miss out on these savings. Visit A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet on Church Street while you still can. But hurry, this deal ends March 15th. Main Street, here we come. All sales are final. No refunds or returns.
Feeling saucy? Come down to A&W and dip a juicy five-piece hand-breaded chicken tender combo into our new spicy three-pepper fire sauce or our new savory A&W sauce. Dip into A&W and try them today.
Always made fresh root beer, always at A&W. Your A&W restaurant is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by and enjoy.
Participating restaurants, prices may vary, tax extra.
WRCO Sports, sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a tough loss for the Bucks last night. And during the day, sad news about the death of a former Buck. Details in just a moment.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteaders Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
The WIA girls basketball tournament is this weekend, and prior to the games on Saturday, there will be the three-point challenge shoot-off. Among the players that will be there and competing will be River Ridge senior Mandy Worley. She, with a great percentage this year during her senior year, will be competing against nine other shooters for the three-point challenge winner. The WIA has announced its academic all-state teams for area high schools. Reedsburg was the number one team in boys Division II with a overall grade point average on the team of 3.856. For the girls' teams, the all-academic team in Division IV, led by Westby with a GPA of 3.950 and Darlington 3.946 as well. On the state scene, Tyrese Halliburton described it as a football play, and he converted the extra point too, with the Indiana Pacers needing a three-pointer to tie the Bucks in the closing seconds last night. A streaking Halliburton took a handoff-style inbound pass along the left sideline, elevated over Giannis Antetokounmpo while fading out of bounds, and buried the three while being fouled. Halliburton made the free throw for a stunning four-point play with 3.4 seconds left, and the Bucks held on for a 115-114 victory over the team From Indiana, the Indiana team holding out the Bucks by one. Giannis had a chance at the buzzer and missed a three-pointer. Former Bucks star and successful businessman Junior Bridgman has died in Louisville. He was 71. Bridgman's business ventures made him a billionaire. Just last year, he bought a 10% share of ownership of the Bucks franchise. He was attending a fundraising event Tuesday when he suffered a medical event, possibly a heart attack. Bridgman played 12 years in the NBA. The Bucks retired his number 2 jersey as well. Following the game last night, Coach Doc Rivers talked about a tough day.
Here's a guy that I think the most he made was with $300,000 in his career, and he's an owner. So think about that kid growing up wanting to be an NBA player was probably his dream, and he turned that dream into being an NBA owner. And if that's not what every kid should aspire to do, you know, I was even reflected on my career, you know, as a coach, and I've won titles and all that stuff. And you should really want to be like Junior. I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact model that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So tough day, just really a tough day.
Elsewhere in the NBA last night, Cleveland 109, Brooklyn 104. It was Detroit 123, Washington 103, and New Orleans over the Clippers 127-120. Tiger Woods is out with another injury. Woods says he ruptured his left Achilles tendon and had surgery Tuesday. He did not offer many details, but the injury will keep him out of the Masters and leaves in question whether he can play in any other major championship the rest of this year. That's a look at sports on a Wednesday morning. I am Phil Nee.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics is pleased to announce the opening of Community Pharmacy at the Richland Hospital. Head pharmacist Dr. Madeline Oy is eager to offer convenient, integrated care to our patients.
Dick Hauser and Steve Moore are here as we talk about Project Seed, which it is that time of year again. Doesn't seem possible, Dick. Seems like we were just talking about this, but it's been a year.
Yes, time goes by fast. In fact, I kind of caught myself a little bit. It crept up on me, and I said, oh, I guess I better get on the ball here and make sure people know about Project Seed coming up this coming Saturday.
Well, we've had better weather this week, and I think maybe people are starting to think about planting, aren't they?
I would certainly think that it's got to be in the back of their mind anyway.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved with Project Seed?
Oh, boy. It's been well over 20 years. I can't tell you for sure, but I remember when it first started. It was back in the 80s when we had a problem when the milk price was really deflated, and the first couple of years, you had to bring a milk check along to show that you were having a problem getting the right kind of money for your milk. And then I think I came along and said, now, wait a minute. The people that are in the beef industry have just as much problem as the milk industry. And so that's kind of where I opened my mouth and got involved.
I guess the rest is history then. So.
Correct.
So you got involved with it. Is it through your church, too, that you got involved with it?
Yeah. The program is through the Rural Life Committee of the Diocese of La Crosse. And everyone is welcome to come. It makes no difference whether you're Catholic or not. You're certainly, everyone is welcome, because we're offering farmers an opportunity to buy good quality seed at a reduced price.
St. Mary parking lot again this year, is it?
Yes, it will be at St. Mary's parking lot on Saturday the 15th, and it'll be from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock.
You've had years where I think you were brushing snow off the bags of seed, weren't you?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
This year it sounds like it's going to be all right, though. On
I think so.
So, Steve Moore is in the studio with us. Steve, you generally join us long distance. So welcome. Good to have you here.
Yeah, it's a great day for a drive to come to Richland Center. So can't get enough of this town.
Wonderful. How long have you been involved with Project Seed, Steve?
It's been at least 15 years. We first just started supplying the seed corn because they wanted just conventional corn and not Roundup Ready GMO, so our company, our parent company, so to speak, my company, just was doing a lot of organic which is conventional seed, and we do the conventional treated as well. So kind of a natural fit, and we're growing our own seed. I've got growers all over, so we can grow what we need. And some of the hybrids for Project Seed are specific to Project Seeds. You know, some of the areas that we sell in there, farmers use. So some of the hybrids and Project Seeds are not in our Foundation Direct seed lineup or Foundation Organic, and vice versa. There's some things there that Project Seeds doesn't get.
How was the growing season last year, Steve?
We got, I'd say, lucky. I mean, there's a lot of rain in that, but my growers are scattered. We got Ontario, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, 5 in Wisconsin, 1 in Iowa, and 1 in Minnesota. So by being spread out, it's more trucking, it's this and that, but it spreads our risk out. So if one group, one location has bad weather, bugs, or whatever, we got the other ones, you know, even if I had, and plus our farm up at, our farm's by Onalaska. So even if I had thousands of acres up there, I wouldn't grow it all in one spot, because you just, it's risky.
And you talked to me on the phone as you were making your way here today, but some big changes this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The biggest one, it kind of started last year, you know, with the prices nosediving. And we were doing an outdoor show, Project Seeds, up at the Farm Science Technology Days last summer. And, you know, you're sitting there, we get the tents, but people don't stop that much. So I made a sign up on a sandwich board, and I just wrote it on there for a second. I said, do the math. $380 a bag, multi-stack, refuge in a bag, all these big fancy corns, and $3.80 grain, 100 bushels out of that bag goes to pay for that bag of seed corn. And you haven't even turned the key in the tractor yet, let alone or buy fertilizer or the weed sprays. So that actually got some people's attention, and they're, you know, and some of them did. We had some people that switched out by South Dakota. We had some younger guys, same thing, their banker pointed that out to them, how many acres it takes, how many bushels per acre just to pay for the seed. So they switched from the $300-and-some big name hybrid to, you know, ours is, it was 40% what the others was. And then in the university trials, I pointed out to the young man that what they were using, big name hybrid, they were in the university trials up here in Galesville, and we had a yield advantage. You know, just straight corn doesn't have yield drag. You put all these traits in it, things get shuffled around, and usually it just takes more oomph to make these other things work. So we have had some people switching. It's a little more complicated on the sprays, but most farmers are smart enough to figure that out and can make that work. Instead of just spraying straight Roundup, you know, you don't have to think about it. Just, and that's what all the big spray companies, co-ops, and other outfits tend to just, they spray a lot of that stuff. It's easier for them. You don't have to clean the sprayer out the tank. You just dump more in there and go, go, go.
Mm-hmm. Do you pay for the name sometimes with seed?
Oh, yeah, and I used to work for a major national seed company, 11 years, and I remember sitting in the office. I'd got transferred to the office and was doing marketing stuff. I remember working on the margins and pricing and seeing, you know, the overhead column, and it dawned on me that I was just overhead. I wasn't out calling or delivering seed, actually being productive for the company like I used to be. I was an office guy. So it was overhead. And, you know, part of the name they got to have, we were owned by a major international company by then. They'd bought us out, but they got to pay for that. And they demand their profit margins. You know, they got to get a certain margin. And it was a chemical company that owned us. And they're used to high margins in chemicals. So they saw what was going on in seed. And you guys aren't charging enough for this stuff. So, yeah, there is always a part to that. And in the old days, customers would believe that more than now. Now they tend to look at yield trials, university plots, and they see the small companies, not just ours, but a lot of them can beat the big name companies.
Are there some new hybrids for 25?
Too many.
Really?
I was just sitting here, I got here early and down at the restaurant, and I'm working on production plans, and there's a bunch of new ones, and it'd be like looking at shiny new toys, you know, in the window. Which one do we want? Uh-huh. But yeah, there's on conventionals, the number of products that are available to us and other companies is actually going up. Where for years it kept going down, down, down. If you want this cross here that's doing so well, you got to get the traits and pay the fees. So now, there's some good combinations out there.
So you'll be here in Richland Center on Saturday, and are you available if people have questions about what they should be planting?
Oh, yeah, my son and I own it, and our phone numbers are on there. So when you call, it goes direct to us. We are a low overhead company. We do not have district managers, regional managers, and agronomists and plant breeders running around to support. We drive the trucks, I drive the tractor, the detasslers, and that's kind of our office too, inside, outside, or in the trucks. So we do a lot of our own deliveries, which cuts out just a lot of ways to cut overhead.
And the seed types that you'll have on Saturday in terms of other crops?
We've got some 98-day, 105-day Roundup Ready ones, mm-hmm. and then a whole spectrum of just straight conventional hybrids. Nothing really on the truck for the organic guys. We have that at the warehouse, but to keep it kind of slim down and simple so we can deliver at these sites, you can't bring the whole warehouse there. And we try and bring extras. It's always nice. Most of the guys will pre-order. It's a better price when you do that. That way we know how to load the truck and not overload it and start guessing what we may need this, may need that. I know in our other book, between the two, we get 90 products. So trying to get all these growing for next year and guess what you're going to need and what you don't need, it's gets to be a bit of a juggling act, but mm-hmm. so far we found that if you grow extra about everything, you tend not to run out. It's maybe not the best inventory management, but it sure cuts the stress level down.
I bet when you drive by some of these fields where you know it was seed that came from you, you have some proud moments in the fall, don't you?
Yes, unless they happen to be organic. I know organic. We didn't order a lot of road signs. That's a challenge, doing things organically. Trying to keep the weeds out. Mm-hmm. And if you see a weedy field, you don't really want my name on
there. Dick, as you look at Project Seed this week, some notes that you wanted to pass along to the audience today?
Well, just the fact that when we first started out, we did not have anything but conventional seed. And because so many people have gone to using the Roundup Ready, we now have that available in the program. So I want to make sure that people don't revert back to thinking years back when we did not have the Roundup Ready. The other thing that we do quite a bit of here is in alfalfa and grass seeds. Corn is a big thing, of course, but in our hill country, I love to see our fields with grass, alfalfa, and that sort of thing on, because conservation-wise, it's better. So we have a very good selection. We've got products that we've been having for many years, and we've got a lot of faithful customers that keep coming back for the Commander alfalfa and things like that. But we do have a good selection of alfalfa seeds and also clovers and mixes and grasses. So just want to make sure that everyone understands that we have those all available.
This is a project, again, through the diocese. Is it just to benefit farmers? Is there some sort of proceeds or anything like that that go?
The only proceeds that we have is that we do allocate $2 a bag back to the local church because we're using their facility. And so they'll get a check for several hundred dollars to go toward the school or whatever they want to use it for.
This day and age, Steve, with the price of everything, fuel and, fertilizer and everything else, people are watching the bottom line, so they want something that's going to work, don't they?
Yes, they do, and there's not much bottom line.
Right.
And being a small company, that actually gives us an advantage. I hate to say it, but when the commodity prices are low, our sales tend to improve. But then farmers really have to pencil things out to have something left over at the end of the year. So on these more simpler products like corn and maybe straight Roundup corn and that, there's more room there for us to cut and be competitive. You start getting up in the $300 to $400 range. 80% of that's going to the genetics, the big ones that own the traits, whether it's a Monsanto or a Corteva or a Dow or a Syngenta. They own the trait. They're the ones who get the big check. It's not so much the royalties that we pay also, but there's no cut. There's no breaks. I could, you know, be selling a million bags of it and they don't cut you a dime difference on it. But the big ones own the traits. So on these big farms and that, they can get more competitive. And smaller, medium companies like us, there's no room there. But when you come to just straight corn, alfalfa and that, we are more than competitive because we don't have the overhead. Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody running around our place with a tie on.
Do the genetics work? Are they worth watching?
Well, if you look in the university trials, just one example this year, we had one, our 102-day corn, clear up at Chippewa, which was on the north end of his zone. It come in, it's just farmed regularly. I just sent them raw seed. I mean, it was one of our organic ones that we also have conventional treated, too. It went 308 bushels an acre. It beat everything in the plot, all the GMO ones and all the big-name companies. So the genetics are there. Like I said, there's no yield drag because we don't have all this extra, I'll call it baggage, attached to the genetics of the seed, which sometimes will drag it down. Now, in the absence of pest, straight corn has an advantage. Now, if there's rootworms, corn borer, and earworms and all that stuff flying around, then these traits, they're designed to protect what's there.
Dick Hauser joining us along with Steve Moore from Project Seed. Again, that's coming up this weekend at St. Mary's Church. Again, the times, Dick.
The times will be on Saturday morning from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And PCB Wealth Management. We're at 24 degrees, headed towards 60 later. The time is 7 o'clock.
Over 100 years of serving Southwest Wisconsin, all of us at Jones Chevrolet are honored to continue the tradition. Whether it's helping you choose a new Chevrolet vehicle, finding the perfect pre-owned truck, car, or SUV, or performing vital maintenance, repairs, adding accessories, or even emergency help with your vehicle, new Chevrolet vehicles are coming in weekly. Stop in and see one of our friendly sales professionals to see what's on the way, on the lot, or even custom order one the way you want. Go to JonesChev.com to see what's available or set up an appointment. You can even fill out the secure credit application